You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples. Bruce, honestly, has been a part of New Testament Church longer than I have been around. He's been around and was a part of us for many, many years. And then recently, in the last few years, he went over to pastor at Northside Community Church here in Messina. So he's our brother. We thought, as this began to happen, I just reached out actually and said, Bruce, you know what would be great if the churches of the area could actually just come together and we could support one another and do things online together. We've been doing this for about a year and a half, just online stuff, and so I'm excited to have Bruce here. We're actually hoping to invite a couple other friends to speak over the next number of weeks, but thank you, Pastor Bruce, for being here.
Thank you, Greg. It's very nice to be back to New Testament Church. It's been a while since I stood up here and spoke, but it's an honor, and welcome all Northside Community Church folks as well. So we've stayed connected. We've been gone, my wife Paula and I have been gone for about 2.5 years now over at Northside. We were actually sent out of here. I'm talking to people over there and there's nobody there. I need to talk to the camera. We were sent out here about 2.5 years ago. Don set it up so we could go over and help out Northside Community Church. Others were sent over. And then George left and we were brought on there as to be the pastor. So we stayed connected. The Momentum Boys live in our parsonage over there. I'm participating in Dave Broadbent's Saturday morning prayer group with the men, which is a wonderful thing. We've stayed tied with, like yesterday, even Tom Saxby came over, and we played tennis. And we made sure that he made sure we kept 6 foot apart because he kept hitting the ball over the fence, and I had to run and get it. No, I'm just kidding. Tom's a great guy. We love you, Tom. So this is our heart, is to stay together. We have some beautiful people at Northside Community Church. When I'm over there, I brag about the people here. When I come here, I brag about the people over there. And just wonderful body of believers here in Messina. The other churches as well. You know, we've got some great leaders in this community, some very great leaders. So the church in Messina is strong. And growing, too, and that's what's really important. So I want to talk today about shooting blanks. And my scripture text is going to be out of Matthew 17, and I'll read verses 14 through 20 just to start off with. Shooting blanks, Matthew 17. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. Let's just pray. Father, thank you today, Lord, that you help us along, Lord. You didn't just set this up and walk away, but Father, you sent your Holy Spirit to live inside of us and to guide us every day and to draw us closer to you. Father, we pray that today, that each of us, Lord God, would come closer to you, Father. And look, Father, at you, Father, in a new way, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this phrase, they could not cure him, that we just read out of Matthew 17, that's pretty strong. That's pretty sobering, almost, to us a lot of times. How many of you have prayed and you came away from it feeling like, I just didn't get it done. It just didn't work out. And Jesus addresses them. They came to Jesus right after and said, what happened? What went wrong? And he says, it's because you don't have enough faith. And he starts it off and he says, you unbelieving and perverse generation. He puts unbelief in the same category, on the same level as perversity. And so it makes me have to step back here and consider this. You know, Paul said, I came to you in word and in power. And you know what? That's on 1 Corinthians 2. I remember I went to the store one time and I bought a vacuum. And I brought it home and it said on the box how powerful it was. And we plugged it in. Of course, I bought it because it was a great deal. And it didn't work well. It didn't have any power. It said that it did, but it didn't have any power. And you know what? Justin put me on to Irwin McManus. He's a preacher, and one of his quotes, there's Irwin McManus quotes out there. I love quotes anyways. But he said, our message when it's easy needs to be our method in critical times. So when it really comes down to it, when we pray, when there's a real need, is our message translated into our method? Is it working? If not, we're shooting blanks, aren't we? We're shooting blanks. I don't know. I don't have a lot of experience with guns. I'm not a gun person. But I remember when I first tried it, like, 10 years ago, I went out and I had a Ruger 10/22. We set up a can, like, way far away on the other corner of the lot. I put the gun up and I shot it right through the dead center of the can. My father-in-law couldn't believe it because I'm not a gun person. And I said, I'm not even trying again because there's no way I could duplicate that. Beginner's luck. But anyways, with guns, you're shooting blanks. You're shooting the real thing. A lot of times us as Christians, we're shooting blanks. We think we're shooting the real thing. And even remember the Sons of Sceva? They shot and it backfired. That's worse yet. When they tried to drive out demons and the demons came after them. So this came to my heart a few weeks ago because I got done praying a really good prayer. And it was smooth. And I could pray sometimes and it comes out so good. And I remember getting done with the prayer and saying, that didn't do anything. And I've got to take a look at this and look in the mirror and say, what's going on here? You know, I don't want to have a 5-minute prayer that sounds really good when I could just say, take up your mat and walk and have it be effective. So, I mean, I know the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. It's got to be fervent. It's got to be effectual. And I also know that when we pray, it's counts for something. There's bowls being filled up in heaven with your prayer and my prayer. For the last 40 years, I've been part of this church, and we've prayed Saturday mornings, Sunday mornings. All of us have prayed at home, and there's bowls that are filled up, kind of like the Great Escape. If you go to the water park there, they got that big bucket in the back, and that thing's filling up with water, and then just about when it's all about to fall over, everybody gets underneath that. And that's what's happening right now. I believe there's bowls that are filled in heaven from our prayers, effective prayers that maybe we didn't get it right off the bat, but there's a buildup happening. And I believe that's happening in our community right now. But nevertheless, there is that aspect of that you have little faith. You don't have enough faith. And so we've got to take a look at this. We've got to kind of self-assess. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. And, I saw a TV commercial. How many of you are watching way too much TV these days? I saw a TV commercial the other day. It was about quitting smoking. And the guy said, the worst lies are the ones we tell ourselves. So a lot of times, I don't want to be self-deceived. I don't want to think I'm somewhere in God when I'm really not. You know, so we're assessing ourselves. God also assesses us too. He tests our faith. That's what it comes down to, right? It comes down to the trial of our faith, which is more precious than gold. And that's what Jesus does. He looks at every one of us and he says, your faith is little. Your faith is some. You have great faith. And whether we like it or not, we're being tested. You know, my daughter is a junior in high school, and every time I talk to her, she's getting ready for a test, for an exam. And I think to myself, boy, am I glad I'm done with that. I remember my college days, and I'm like, I still have college nightmares. Still to this day, I'm in the middle of a dream thinking, I'm short 6 credits. I can't graduate because I don't know. We all have, I had paper route dreams too. When I was a kid, I was a paper route. I forgot to do my paper route. Anyways, we have to understand, though, that even though the testing is done in school, God does things entirely different. He does things wrong sometimes, as far as I'm concerned. He does things backwards. He says, if you want to be first, you have to be last. In our world system, it's, I got here first. If you go to the store during Black Friday or something like that, it's going to be whoever gets there first gets it. God's economy is backwards. The last shall be first, right? And the other thing that God does that's backwards is the whole testing concept. In God's world, we graduate, and then the coursework and the testing begins. It's backwards. You know, we meet the Lord. Jesus becomes our Lord and Savior. It happened to me March 27th, 1983. And then the testing begins. So maybe that nightmare is more for real. But anyways, God is testing us. And that's what our life consists of. And we've got to see this a little clearer. We're not just on our own roaming around. God is involved in our lives in every aspect, every little part. And so courses that God offers, we graduate and then the courses and the tests begin. So the courses that God offers, they're the courses that load our guns with real bullets, all right? If we're not taking, I don't care how shiny your gun is, how clean it looks, how good of a prayer you pray, so to speak, if our guns aren't loaded with real ammunition, we're shooting blanks. And so God gives us courses. And we start off with this, maybe the first semester is like, go to church, 101. We learn that right from the start. We've got to go to church. How about forgiveness, 101? Forgiveness is like a basic math skill. You'll use it your whole life, and you need to use it every day. Another course may be love, 101. The Bible says, if we don't love our brother who we can see, how can we say we love our God who we can't see, and our brother is made in God's image. Giving, another course, maybe another course you're taking that first and second semester. It's more blessed to give than receive. Again, something entirely different than the world teaches. How about Bible study, 101? That may be another course. We study to show ourselves approved. Humility, that's another big course. Humility is God resists the proud. You ever feel the resistance of God? Have you ever been proud at a moment and felt God just push a little bit? Oh, it hurts. It hurts. But we need to listen to that. And sometimes, even after we graduate, we have to take continuing ed, right? Or we have to retake the course. It's not like college where if I look back right now and I look at calculus, I don't even know if I could spell it. Right now, I don't remember anything about calculus, but yet it's in the bank. It's on my resume or whatever. In God's economy, you may have to retake humility 101 10 times over all your life. Who knows? And then there's graduate courses. And these are the good bullets that go in that we all are looking for. So when we pray, when we say to that demon, come out, it comes out. We've got to be good at these courses, at these tests that build our faith. One of these courses, I think it's a graduate course, is called Same Bruce All the Time, and it's a 600-level course. Same Bruce ever, all the time. You ever go up 420 or out South Main Street and you get stopped at the train? And it's never at a good time, is it? You're like, I can't believe it. I'm in such a hurry. You get stopped at this train, and the thing goes, and it goes, and it goes. By the time you're sitting there for minutes, long enough, I even heard a story. John Kessner once fell asleep there one time. He was on a long shift. Anyways, But that train, it just goes and goes. And you, before you know it, you're thinking, how is that even, that last, those last cars even connected to the locomotive? How is it even connected? And you know what? Our lives are like that. There are many cars, many aspects to our life. And how is it that they all have to stay connected? How is it sometimes that car number 17 or car number 54, there's some sin problems there, you know what I mean? In 17 and 54. And I look at that train, and I'm going, boy, it's staying connected. It's all together. It doesn't seem like it from one end to the other, from one part of my life to the another, to another. Sunday morning service is a whole lot different than Thursday afternoon, you know? But it all has to be connected, right? So same Bruce all the time. Even though the locomotive is out of sight, we still have to live in car number 27 or 54 like we're connected to that locomotive. The second one, maybe another higher level course. Again, what I'm talking about today are things that we can do, things that God is involved in our life that we yield to or surrender to so God can load our guns with the bullets, the real thing. So when we pray, there's power there. Like I said, Paul came not just in word, but in power. Second one, consecrate every part of your life. Every part of your life. It's not just the 2 hours on Sunday or the time that you see somebody that you need to be come across as spiritual. It's every part. In other words, every part of your life is sacred. Whether you're doing laundry at home, whether you're doing spreadsheets, or whether you're recycling cans, whatever it is, it's you got to consecrate every part. And you're saying, where is that in the Bible? It's plain and clear. Colossians 3:23, one of our memory verses that I did with my kids at an early age. It says, whatever you do, do it heartily with all your heart, as unto the Lord and not to men. So whatever you do, you're doing it as unto God. Laundry, recycling cans, spreadsheet at work, whatever you're doing, we consecrate. Make everything, every part of your life consecrated. There's no switch. There's no thing where I go, oh, it's Wednesday, I don't have to be as holy as I was on Sunday, or vice versa. It's all one. Every part of our life consecrated. Another one, maybe another graduate level course that you guys and I am, we're all going through this. We're all in this together. We do it together, but we do it individually, don't we? It's one might be do what others aren't willing to do. All right? Nursery, foster care, adoption, cleaning toilets. I've been in this church for 30 years. I thought about it this morning. I was out praying on the dike, walking, and I'm going like, I never cleaned one toilet once in that church in 30 years. I'm ashamed of that. I've mowed a lot of grass, but we got to be willing to do what other people aren't willing to do. And I remember like 6 years ago, I was frustrated. I'm going like, God, I want to preach. And I met with Rick Sinclair and Don Curry together, And the counsel to me was, go to the jail. I go, yes, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the jail. And you know what? Not many people are willing to go to the jail. And then I started going to nursing homes. And you know what? You know where I learned to preach? I learned to preach in the jail. And I learned to lead worship in a nursing home. Talk about awkward. In a nursing home, I was in a big area, and got my guitar. Nobody's paying attention except for three people up front that came to the service, and they were sleeping. And I'm sitting there leading worship. And that's where I learned. I remember like 20 years ago, I tried it here once, and it went bad. It went real bad. So, but I learned to do it at the nursing home. Be willing to do what other people aren't willing to do. Another course. How about this one? Be Holy Spirit led. This is like doctorate level course. If we can get this down, we're going to have our guns loaded with bullets that are really going to work. We're going to make sure that when we pray, there's results. The demons will flee. Amen. Being led by the Holy Spirit in the little things and in the big things. It starts off with the little things, you know. I remember like last fall, we had three foster boys, and I said, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to teach you how to play tennis. So we had them out back, and I'm throwing them the ball and talking to them. You know, I didn't really want to do that, but I said I knew I needed to. And then the phone rings, and I own this apartment building, and there's an emergency there. I mean, it was something that's been going on for a while, and it just broke loose. And I said, you got to come and take care of this, you know? And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to teach these kids tennis. And I'm going to tell you right now, choose people. Always choose people. You know, Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, everything else will be added, right? And so I said, I'm gonna teach these guys tennis. I'm gonna stay here. I'll go over there afterwards. And it was a fight. It was a battle inside me. I knew I needed to stay there. I got done teaching them. The phone rang. We got it taken care of. I mean, it was like a miracle. It was a bona fide miracle. And when we're obedient to God, even in the little things, God told me a long time ago, if you take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. And that's the way it works. And that's what I just quoted, the scripture. You know, and so we've got to be Holy Spirit. And the big things, too. The big things, we got to be ready. When God says, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. That's a tough word. And, you know, you're saying, Bruce, don't get crazy here. But, hey, you know what? Everybody thinks I'm crazy anyways. We might as well get all in on this, right? We might as well get all in. And some of you have done that. I remember, was it 10 years ago now, Greg? You and Jess were down in Florida. Who moves from Florida to northern New York? Who does that? And the Holy Spirit said to you guys, got to go back up. And that's a big life. That's one of those sell everything and give it away. And that's one of those moments. And I've had moments like that. I'm sure some of you have. But these are some of the things that we want to be open to God with, you know, being led by the Spirit especially. And that happens on the moment, in a moment in time that we're open. We're instant, in season and out, the Bible says. So I know I'm going to finish up here. I'm almost done, but I know this is a tough word. And I know it's hard. You know, the Bible says examine yourself, like I said, to see whether you're in the faith. But I'm also quite sure that you're okay with it. Because Proverbs 9:8 says, if you correct a wise man, he will love you. And so sometimes people that spoke into my life the most harsh, in the harsh way, I respect the most. So I'm expecting today, if you are in a place where I am right now, not last week, not last month, where sometimes my prayers are hit or miss. I'm firing. Sometimes I got something coming out, but maybe it's just water or water gun. But I think God wants us to move along. I think God wants our faith to be developed because it's leveled, like I said, it's right on the same par as perversity, unbelief. We've got to take it seriously. And so my challenge today is reconsider the whole thing. Reconsider your life. Is the train on the track? The train of your life, all those cars. Which cars are off? Which cars need to at least, we got to get the train all on. Are we skipping our classes with God? Have we refused to take tests anymore? Are we shooting blanks? So that's all I've got, but I want to encourage you as Christians, and encourage myself as well, that God is about doing a great work in each of our lives. It says, he that has begun something in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you're not going to be left alone. I'm sorry. If you're a Christian, if you said, Jesus, you're my Savior, you are enrolled in God's college. And there's no way that he's going to just let you walk away and stop taking courses, stop taking tests. And today, maybe it's your day to get back on the course train. Amen? All right.
I think all of us would be remiss if we don't honestly take stock of our lives in the middle of such a pressure moment. I've been saying, should things even go back to normal when things go back to normal? Should we just return to who we were a month ago or 2 months ago? Or should this change us? And I always say, you know, a lot of people have been asking me the question, is God causing this? Is this God's judgment? All those kinds of things. I'll just be honest and say, I don't know. I guess I would, from my opinion, say, I don't think so. But I know this one thing about him. He never wastes a moment. And I don't believe God has sent a disease. I don't believe God is using this in a certain, or, you know, causing it in a certain way. But I absolutely believe God will use it in our lives. And he will use it in his church. And he will use it in this world. Because he doesn't waste anything, no matter how good or bad it is. And so I would say right now in our lives, we need to take stock. We need to say, God, how do you want us to change? How do you want us to be as people coming through this in the middle of it and people after it? And I just want to finish up by reading this prayer. I was really struck by this week as I was reading one morning in Ephesians. And this is from Paul, and he's writing to the Ephesian church. And this, it's kind of known as the letter to the church, and we take it as that kind of way, you know, a couple thousand years later. This is written to people that are in the body of Christ, to the church, but he prays this prayer. At near the bottom of chapter 3, he says this, when I think of all this, this is Paul, and he's just written a bunch of stuff to his friends in the Ephesian church. He says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. God, we just thank you that these words are just as true now as when Paul wrote them, God, that we need your love desperately in our lives, God. We need you in our lives in these moments. And God, I pray right now that every person that tuned in today and had watched it live, and every person that happens to click on this feed later throughout the week, God, that they would come to an understanding of how wide, how long, how deep, and how great your love is for us. God, that you're not distant from us in these moments, God. You're not causing them, but God, you want to use them. God, you want us to evaluate who we are and what we've become and where you want us to go as a people. And so, God, I pray right now that you would bless every person watching, God, every person in the realm of our lives of influence, God. I even pray right now that you'd put people in our hearts for us to continue to pray for, Father. God, that you would do something through your church in this time. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us, Northside Community Church. Thank you for joining us, NTC Messina. And we will see you again next week. Amen. Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.